Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm just here for the candy corn.
Candy corn? That's a lousy treat. Sure. Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are talking about rotator cuff tear and repair with me, Lita.
Hi, Lita.
Hey there, Lita. How are you?
I'm good. Hello, fellow podcasters. And hello to our great listening audience.
All right, I'm going to start this little shindig off.
Okay.
I think everybody's heard of a rotator cuff, but can you tell us exactly what is the rotator cuff and why might it need repairing?
Sure. The rotator cuff is a collection of muscles and tendons that stabilize the shoulder joint that allow you to lift your arm over your head. And I'm going to have to throw in here, also allow you to make your arm go sideways, like out to the side. Because okay. I know that for a fact, because I couldn't do that anymore. And when you have to have it repaired, it's when there's a tear in the tendons, ligaments, or muscle. A rotator cuff tear is one of the many possible shoulder injuries, including but not limited to broken bones like a collarbone or the humerus itself, which is the large bone at the top of the arm. You could also have adhesions, impinged tendons, or a separation at the AC joint. You could have damaged cartilage, dislocation of the muscle, or, like I was saying, tendon tears. And yeah, I had a tendon tear.
And do you know how you happen to have injured yourself in your rotator cuff?
It's not like something happened where I just said, ow, what did I do? So, no. But typically age, you know, I'm getting old, mm-hmm. overuse or an injury, obviously an injury, may damage the rotator cuff. I've heard that, like, if you fall, like, straight down and you try to
like
catch yourself.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not down a well. You know, like on your face, but then you catch yourself.
Mm-hmm.
No,
like you trip and you
well.
Fall. Okay.
Yeah. I heard that could do it, but
are you saying if you fell down a well, you couldn't do it?
Yeah, you might.
Okay. Jean,
you might.
Right.
Did you say you were
talking about
what? Candy corn? Go get some candy corn.
Okay.
But I was helping somebody move. And I wasn't lifting anything because I can't lift because of my lower back, but I was packing boxes. That's all I was doing, was packing boxes. So maybe it was just the repetitive motion of packing the boxes, you know, like where you're lifting things up and putting them into the box. Mm-hmm. So you're going like to the side and up and over. And
sure.
And I noticed a dull ache whenever I would extend my arm out to the side or up in the air. For instance, when I really noticed it was when I was reaching through the car window at a drive-up. No, can't do that. That was very painful.
So would you say that your symptoms were typical of a rotator cuff injury, or was that something that most people don't experience?
No, I think they do. I think that is a typical symptom. It'll probably vary based on the extent of the injury. For instance, my brother, who I tried to talk into having the surgery done, he has a complete tear, which is what I had, and his shoulder actually comes out of place now because the tendons are so badly torn that the top of the long bone in the arm will actually come away from the shoulder socket.
So he actually might need a joint replacement.
He might end up, Gene just said he might need a joint.
Just jump in and throw in another question.
But wait, I'm not done with the first one, Ron. Give me a break. I'm not used to being a guest.
Yeah, we know, because you can't stick to script.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
but
Tatum.
But you may feel an ache. It may increase, the pain may increase with use. It may get stiff, or it may get weak. Okay, go ahead with your other question.
Well, because I've been dealing with some issues as well, too. And when you hear a tear, at least me, I think of, like, if you have paper, and you know, tear it from side to side, you're just kind of like tearing it in half or whatever. But with the rotator cuff tear, I'm under the impression that that's more like if you take a whole bunch of papers and you stick them in a hole puncher.
I think we're going to get into exactly. There are, when you're saying rotator cuff, you're talking about a collection of muscles and tendons that are stabilizing the shoulder. Like, say you're exercising, like you're doing a bicep curl, you're making small microscopic tears in that muscle, and then it's going to get stronger and grow bigger. So you, on a daily basis, you're getting tiny little tears all over. But the extent of the tear might determine, will determine what type of treatment you're going to receive. But it could be any number of tendons and or muscle in that area.
And the tear that I had was...
Well, let me ask you, how was your condition diagnosed?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right. My healthcare provider, my GP, initially ordered an MRI. Okay. And but your healthcare provider may order X-rays, MRIs, or ultrasounds to determine the extent of the injury. 2 years ago, I had an MRI after a similar achiness in my right shoulder, and that showed a partial tear. So I went to physical therapy for 6 weeks, and it seemed to get better. And then this year, I ended up having worse pain in the left shoulder. So my GP ordered another MRI, which showed a full thickness tear in the distal supraspinatus tendon. Tendinosis?
Mm-hmm.
Of both the...
Of all of the
infraspinatus, the subscapularis, and the biceps tendons. And from what I heard is the tendon that attaches your muscle group to the top of your arm, mm-hmm. where your arm goes into your shoulder socket, mm-hmm. like a ball and socket, mm-hmm. they tore away from the bone, and that was the problem. That's what I understood it to
be. You had a full thickness tear, so yeah. That's why it required intervention.
Okay.
So... Wow, that's kind of difficult. originally, how did you treat it?
Well, initially, my GP told me to just rest it and not use my arm overhead. I tried steroid injection and physical therapy.
And how did that work for you?
Not too good the second time around. So, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't something that was going to get better with therapy.
So how long ago was it you decided that you would need to have the surgery?
Just before COVID. No, it was after COVID.
It was after COVID, yeah.
But it was during COVID, so that I had to kind of wait because of COVID, you know?
Okay, yeah, it's understandable.
See, you went back to your orthopedic.
So this time I went to the orthopedic, the guy that initially looked at my right shoulder. And I told him that nothing seemed to be working. The PT didn't help. The injection didn't help. And he looked at the MRI and he said, well, no, PT isn't going to help. You need surgery to reconnect the tendons.
And what type of surgery did you actually have?
I had a mini open rotator cuff repair. And it took 4 hours. They put, they had two arthroscopic subacromial decompressions and a deltoid splitting cut through which they repaired the tendon with 5 surgical anchors drilled into the top of the humerus or the upper arm bone.
Fun.
All right, then. Wow. What are some of the possible risks involved with something like this? It sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, it was. Infection is certainly one of the risks, and we could talk about that more later. But risks of surgical failure was kind of high for me because our family has Ehlers-Danlos and we tend to not heal well when it comes to connective tissues.
And in general, rotator cuff surgery has a rather high failure rate. It only has like a 33% success rate overall on
average. Don't listen to that, Bobby.
No, but they said, though, even though that it's not completely successful, increased range of motion and strength is rather high. You know, the chances of that improving after surgery is good.
Okay.
Okay, Lita, well, tell us what your recovery after surgery has been like.
Well, the first 2.5 weeks were kind of painful. Actually, let me backtrack. Day two, the day after the surgery, was terrible. Mm-hmm. I started vomiting. I don't know if it was a late reaction to the anesthesia, because usually I'm a big anesthesia puker, or a result of me taking the hydrocodone for the pain. But once I started vomiting, I could not stop. 18 hours later, Gene called in the big guns.
Oh, a big gun? What are the big guns? I know you both are in the Army, but is that... Is that an Army term?
Howitzers.
Yeah, but in this case, Ron, I knew that she was dehydrated after 18 hours of vomiting, and I was the one changing the buckets, so I knew how much fluid was going out and how much was going in, and they weren't equal. And we tried over-the-counter anti-nausea medications, and that didn't work, and she could not keep anything down, not even a sip of water. So... we had actually recently met two physician assistants in Downers Grove, and that local medical group came out and gave her an IV, and I called their office. You know, I told them that we had the problem. I asked if they could do a house call. They said it wasn't typical, but because it was my mother and they love her, as most people do, they had no problem doing that. And they came right over within half an hour. And it was Barbara Kowalski, I think, and Michael Frisola. And they're both board certified nurse practitioners. And I don't know what I said. I think I said physician assistants. But okay, we're going to probably just X out this whole portion because I'm not entirely sure, and she did the research. Okay, so let's start over with my part. No, Ron, it's in this case, we're not talking about the military. We're talking about the big guns of intravenous therapy. We called our local healthcare provider, and they came right out and gave her an IV, and this way she was able to avoid going to the emergency room, and she felt much better after that. Within 20 minutes, she was feeling much better. And a couple of weeks later, though, unfortunately, we ran into another problem, and it was not unexpected for as far as surgical problems go.
What do you mean?
Well, your infection.
Well, okay. Yeah, so at the end of week three, my upper arm, like not my shoulder, but below the shoulder.
Between your shoulder and your elbow.
Yeah, that's a big space there. Kind of like where your deltoid,
tricep.
Where your triceps are.
Okay.
It got hot if you put your hand there, and there was a large red mark. And I put it like, if you were outside in the winter, your cheeks get red, kind of like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So after going to the GP, after going to my surgeon, after going to the ER, after having tests, after having x-rays, and after having the ER doctors, two of them, examines me, it was decided that either I had an infection or I suddenly ended up with a very atypical case of shingles. And if it turns out that's the case, we're going to have a shingles episode soon. We're still looking for answers, but by the time this episode posts, we will have a diagnosis because I just had a blood test done today to see if it was shingles. And we've got a football square pool going, shingles versus infection, if anybody wants to hop on.
Wow.
I'm going to take the square for strawberry jam.
I got nothing for that, but please keep us updated on what the heck is going on.
Well, it is better. Whatever it is, either the antiviral, because the ER gave me antiviral in case it shingles, and I've been on an antibiotic with my GP because she thought it was an infection, so I'm on both. So one of the two is helping because the heat is gone. It's no longer hot when you touch it. The redness is
reduced.
It's reduced. So I'm definitely getting better.
Okay, good. Well, what do you think has helped you with the recovery of all of this?
Overall, yeah.
Everything going on. Well, and going back to the hospital, and they got you on the medicine. But, I mean, realistically, you went in for your arm, for your shoulder.
Right, and I kind of knew what to do for that because we always do research, naturally. And
right.
I read that an electric lift chair, so like it's a recliner, but it's electric, and it'll actually lift you all the way up if you need to, or it'll lay flat, would be good for recovery because you really do use your shoulder getting in and out of bed. And that was great. I used that for 3 weeks. And then I had an ice machine, which was a great, great addition. It circulates ice water through a pad that you drape over the surgical area.
Right.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, not really an ice machine, technically.
It's a cooler with a pump in it.
Right. It's an insulated cooler with a recirculating pump that circulates ice cold water through a pad that she had on her surgical site. Yeah, she really liked that. I think also having everything close by, planning what you wanted to eat and drink, having easy to open containers helped maybe a little bit as well. Okay. All right, and how common are rotator cuff injuries? Obviously in our family, they're quite common because Bobby has one too.
Yeah, well, they are fairly common. There's approximately 3 million people in the U.S. alone diagnosed with a rotator cuff problem every year.
Yeah, ironically, I've gone to my ortho, and he basically told me the same thing that mine is, but he's not going to do surgery unless he tells me I can't sleep at night. That's okay. His threshold for whether or not, or his litmus test, as to whether or not he's going to do surgery.
Okay.
But after listening with you, I'm no offense, but I'm hoping not to have that.
I think it was, she has a very, very strong reaction to pain medication. She doesn't do well on pain medication.
Yeah, you probably won't throw up for 18
hours. And she has a very, very, very strong reaction to general anesthesia. And actually, this time they put a patch behind her ear, and as soon as she removed that patch,
she started throwing up.
So I think it's an individual, you know, thing, and your threshold could be completely different. And it mainly is just being able to rest and maybe not going out the day after surgery and, you know, gallivanting or anything, you know, actually take the time to rest. And we needed super.
But you're also pretty laid up for a while after the surgery too. You're not supposed to use it very much, right?
No, you don't use it
You're not supposed to use it at all. But technically, should her arm be in a sling right now? Yes. Yes, it should. Is it in a sling right now? No. No, it is not. Is this the same woman who removed a cast off of her arm? Yes. Yes, it is. So your results could be quite different.
Okay.
So my next question, and this could probably be one of your tips, but what additional tips or hints or advice do you have for someone recently diagnosed with a rotator cuff injury, Lita?
Okay, well, with everything, listen to your doctor. Don't try to do anything until you're cleared to do so. Remember, you're now held together by a few sutures, and it takes time to have those tendons reattached to the top of the humerus.
And that's nothing to joke about.
Nope, it's not humorous at all.
Well, Lita, thank you for joining your show, our show, and explaining about this, the whole rotator cuff injury. I mean, I know we tease a little bit, but it's a very serious issue, and we appreciate you coming on and talking about it. So if you wanted to, how would you have other people know more about you?
Well, as an individual, I'm on all social media. My name is Lita Thomas, LitaTomas. And as a co-host, we hope that you learn more about myself and my other two co-hosts here, Jean and Ron, by checking out our website at podcastdx.com. And I would like to give a big shout out to our listeners who have boosted us once again to the top 5 podcasts in WeGo Health, the world's largest network of over 100,000 patient leaders. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. They can reach out on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding medical condition or treatment or before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.